good evening. I trust we've all had a good afternoon. I enjoyed a short nap and a blessing of hearing the choir and the cantata practice the cantata rehearsal today. I enjoyed that. Looking forward to it. We did with our first song tonight. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for your goodness, your blessings upon us. Thank you for the joy of service and fellowship. Pray that you bless our time together. I pray that you'd help us as we worship and fellowship tonight. Pray that you'd be with the choir and those that, and the actors in the cantata portion, Lord, that you help them keep them all healthy, Lord, to have no difficulties in preparation for our next practice on Saturday, then our cantata next Sunday night, Father. May it be uplifting to others. May it be glorifying to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Stone to join us if you could. All right, let's go. Brother Leonard, would you pray for the offering?
Father, thank you for this beautiful day you gave us, Lord. It's a good thing to be in the house of the Lord. And Father, we're so thankful for our pastor. We're thankful for Michelle and for her leadership with the choir. And so many things that are done here, Father, with your blessings. And Father, we are just the recipients of your grace. Thank you, Father, for your attendance with us tonight. Father, we offer all of our hearts and souls to you, Father, as our worship to you. And Father, we also at this time take an offering for the functionality of this church, Father, for the missionaries that we support throughout the world. And we call it a pleasure and a benefit to our own souls, Father, and a privilege to do this. So, Father, just bless the giver and the gifts tonight. And we thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Tonight, and hopefully you have a handout. If you don't have one, we'll get one for you if you'd like. Just raise your hand. I think there should be a few handouts left over. Our start our text tonight will be Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. I believe the passages tonight will be in your handout as well. I may have printed some of them a little bit smaller print to make sure I got everything in for the one single page, but we'll look at that in just a moment. But tonight, and I think the date on there is wrong because I think we had a function last week and I was all ready to go, but we had something else going on, so we ended up holding it back. So the date may be wrong, so don't pay any attention if you have a 11:30 date on yours. Today is 12:07. So do you really know what you believe about faith? And I'll have a few questions. Some are rhetorical, some are not, and you'll recognize the difference tonight and get some folks to participate a little bit. But before we get started, let's go ahead and read the text and have a word of prayer. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse number 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." You know, I can stop right there and just take a moment real quick. We need more Christians that can say that. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And I'm afraid today that we may have some churches that worship that like they are. Anyway, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Father, bless the reading of your word. I pray that you'd help me tonight. Give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech. Help us to glean from the scriptures. Much may be a reminder and encouragement to us. Some may be new for some. But either way, Father, it's always good to be encouraged, reminded, and challenged by the word of God. Help us tonight as we look at faith and we consider our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. D.L. Moody said this about faith: "I prayed for faith and thought it would strike me like lightning. But faith did not come. One day I read, 'Now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.' I had closed my Bible and prayed for faith, and nothing happened. I began to study my Bible, and faith has been growing ever since." Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, we can't study the Bible. We can't study the Bible very long without understanding the importance of faith. There's so much that we learn from scriptures, and it helps build our faith as well. A lost sinner cannot be saved apart from faith. A saved sinner cannot grow in his walk without God's part from faith. They go hand in hand. Faith brings us to salvation. Faith helps us to grow in the Lord. So faith is not just a part of the Christian life. It is a vital part of our life as well as our Christian growth. Number one tonight, defining faith biblically. Defining faith biblically. Question here: how would you try to explain the concept of faith to a person who says he has to be able to see it or feel it before he can believe it? I've had that conversation twice this year in the latter part of the last 2.5 months. It can be difficult for those who can't grasp the idea of faith. Letter A: faith is a personal confidence in the Lord. It is a personal confidence in the Lord. See, knowledge, this involves the object of our faith, knowledge. And then we have belief. Belief, this is the decision relative to the object of faith. And then we have trust. We've got knowledge, belief, and trust. This is what we do with the belief we have in the object of our faith. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by works of the law. For the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." So applied to the person of Christ, I must know who and what he is. I must believe who and what he is. And I must trust personally because of who and what he is. Know, believe, trust. So not only do we see faith as personal confidence in the Lord, but letter B, faith is a practical confidence in the Lord. See, faith is not just for salvation, as I previously mentioned. It is really for every day of our lives, because this life is a growing experience. Think about that for a moment. Remember when you first got saved, that leap of faith of trusting in the Lord, and then growing by faith, having faith, knowing that God will teach you, show you, and help you as you take that first step in your walk of faith, maybe making some changes, changing your language, changing your approach, changing how you speak or how you treat others as the Lord works and begins to work in your life. See, what I learned today and what I experienced today gives me faith that God is going to prepare me and use me tomorrow. That's why it's so important to be in the Word, to have a prayer life, because what the Lord teaches me, that I may use tomorrow. Just a quick survey. Have you ever read something in your Bible, studied it, and had maybe a wow moment, and maybe later that day or that week, the Lord gave you the opportunity to share it or use it in talking to someone? Yeah. That's part of growing in faith. That helps build our faith. The Lord's showing us what He's going to use and do in our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 through 9. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that, while as we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Again, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while as we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Well, you know, I'm so glad there's so many things that I can't see. I'm glad so many things I may not recognize at first. I'm so glad the Lord has shielded me and protected me in some areas until I've grown in my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Defining faith biblically. Number two, finding faith biblically. Finding faith biblically. Now, I'll get some feedback with this question. Can you share or think of an illustration that might aid a lost person to understand why he must exercise faith to be saved? Any illustration, anyone that maybe you've ever used trying to help someone to understand a lost person that he must exercise faith to be saved? What illustration might help a saved person to live by faith? And live by faith. Amen. Brother Hottie? The engineer will have knowledge to understand how the bridge works to get him across the bridge, but still comes along with that aspect of belief and in trust and in faith. All goes hand in hand. Letter A, did I miss anyone? Okay, letter A, faith is found in the Word. Faith is found in the Word. When the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, the obvious next question should be, hearing what? You know, just, if you just read just part of that verse, faith cometh by hearing. And the obvious answer is hearing by the Word of God. Dear friends, we can come up with all the greatest illustrations. We can come up with all the ideas in trying to explain things. But, as Brother Hunt was emphasizing, the Word of God speaks for itself. It convicts. And that's why it's so important that we use the Word of God when we're talking with people, when we're sharing with them and showing them and teaching them what the Bible says or trying to show them about faith. So another question here. But why should we place our faith in the Bible as opposed to any other book, even religious books? Of course, we have several cults that have a faith, what they say in the Word of God, but they also use a different religious book. And so often people get confused. So why should we place our faith in the Bible as opposed to any other book? Well, it's obviously God's words. It's Him. It's for us and for God's people, not man's and not others. And that's why so many cults today and in churches have a supplemental thing to go with the Bible. They have something to go along with it. The writings of Joseph Smith or the writings of Mr. Russell and others. They add something to it as opposed to just the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him whom we have to do. Again, allow the Word of God to speak it for itself, because it is quick and sharp and powerful. And that's why it's so important as believers that we hide the Word of God, as the psalmist said, in our heart, that we memorize it and know Scripture. You never know when you'll have an opportunity to be out and not have your sword, not have your New Testament, not have your Bible, and someone ask a question. It's good to be able to quote Scripture, tell them what the Bible says, and because the Word of God is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And that faith will help us come to Christ, but also help us as we read and memorize Scripture to build and help our faith. And the Lord will use us in that area of serving others and ministering to others. So faith is found in the Word, and letter B, faith is placed in the Lord. It is placed in the Lord. Now again, in our text, again in Romans 10, 17, we see if you can find the ultimate object of our faith. Again, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Note that it doesn't say, because it doesn't say that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. That's something it doesn't say. Let me say that again. It doesn't say that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. There's something missing there. It comes by the Word of God. The Word of God. That's so why it's so important to use Scripture. And you may or may not have noticed, but over the last several weeks, maybe a little bit longer, I've used so much more Scripture in my preaching and my teaching, especially in 1 John chapter 5. I think it's important to have support Scripture in that to show, and why I put them in the handouts or put them in the bulletin. I was encouraged this morning from a visitor who's been visiting with us often here lately, saying, Pastor, I enjoyed the message last week and this morning, but I went home this past week, and because you listed all the support Scripture, I went and looked them up again and read them, used them as part of my devotions during the week that week. And it encouraged me and it challenged me. And it's important that we understand that Scripture goes with Scripture. And it's the hearing of the Word of God that speaks volumes, Brother Mel. It let it speak for itself. You know, and think about it for a moment. If I'm reading Scripture, I'm also not just using my own thoughts. But I may make some emphasis within those passages of Scripture, and it's always the best support for any outline is Scripture. In other words, our faith must be in the God who gave us the Bible and not just in the Bible. Yes, I love my Bible, but I love most the one that it's about. And that's what we need to remember as we study the Word. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not only is it the gift of God, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. It's all about Him. Even the faith to believe is a gift of God and His grace. Defining faith biblically, finding faith biblically, and then number three, picturing faith biblically. Picturing faith biblically. Let's take a moment here. We got plenty of time here. Give me one of your favorite examples. Maybe a couple people like to give one of your favorite examples of faith from the Bible. A couple examples, maybe some of your favorite examples of faith from the Bible. Your hand went up quick. God, without faith, impossible to please God. Brother Sam? Amen. 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 So, is there something we don't know?
No.
I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. I think your sister's laughing the hardest. You know, Brother Mel. Yes. 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 So, yeah. It's there's so much in the Bible, and trying to pick a favorite one. You know, sometimes, have you ever noticed sometimes maybe your favorite passage of Scripture, or maybe it's your favorite for the week or for the month, is the one that means and speaks to you the most during that time of your life? One that really helps, that lifts you up during that time that you need it the most. I remember the first time I ever got involved as a teenager, and I knew the Lord was dealing with me about ministry. Pulled in to help him with Vacation Bible School. That first year, I was a teenager. I think I was 16 or 17. And the story they were doing was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I was one of the guards that bound them and had to fall out from the fire and to die. So I remember that story well. And to me, that goes on that story that I love so much, is that not only that, the king recognized, even though he had not been spoken of, the one as the image of the Son of God. They thought they threw in three, but there's four. What faith these young men had, what faith Abraham had, what the faith that we need to put our faith and trust in Christ, and then from there it continues and moves forward. What a blessing. Letter A, picturing faith biblically. Faith as seen in normal people. I think we'd all agree we're all normal people here tonight, most of us. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 says, by faith, Brother Sam, we'll get to that one in a minute, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and it being dead yet speaketh. Abel was a normal guy who simply believed and obeyed God. Chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Here the three wise men were normal, albeit spiritual men, who loved God's word and followed it. See, we don't have to be someone recognized as being head and shoulders above others. We don't have to be some spiritual saint, but normal people that God uses and gives faith to complete a task that God desires. Are we willing to make ourselves available to be used and have faith that God desires to use us? Luke chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. Now when they had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And talking about normal people, fishermen. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets. The disciples, including Peter, were all normal men who followed Jesus by faith. So normal people can, by faith, believe God and do great things for His glory. I think the greatest thing that we'll ever do in our life for our own self is putting faith and trust in the Lord Jesus as our Savior. But beyond that, why not exercise the same type of faith to trust Him to save us and get us to heaven? Let's give the same type of faith to our Savior to use us to do great things for His glory. Letter B, faith as seen in abnormal situations. This is a lengthy passage. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 30 through 39. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering and of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. Talk about faith in abnormal situation. This was a very unusual situation, but that does not mean that Elijah's faith was all that great. Just because it was unusual, just because it's different, doesn't necessarily mean that it was all that great. Instead, what faith he had was in our great God, and even a little faith in a great God could do amazing things for His glory. Even the faith as a mustard seed. Even a little faith could be used of the Lord to do great things or bring God glory. So what do we really know about faith? How are we exercising our faith after that step of repenting and trusting Christ as our personal Savior? Are we allowing the Lord to work in and through our life? Are we experiencing this biblical faith? Is our faith, is it placed in Him and then not of ourselves, not just in salvation, but in our daily walk? Are we doing all that we can as normal people, knowing that God can use me? There's a lot of other examples. We got a little bit of time. Let's take a few examples. What are some other examples that it took of from normal people to exercise of giving something to the Lord, to be used of the Lord, to do great things, maybe even unto that benefited others? I believe she'd still be pouring if she hadn't ran out of vessels. And think about that. The last time he whacked something, he wasn't supposed to whack. And God still provided, but dealt with Moses. And here he is again doing the same thing, departing the Red Sea. That faith again of knowing this time to do what God would have him do. Brother Mel.
Lazarus.
Yes. Yeah. What about the young lad and the 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Boy. Now everyone reads that story differently. I'll just throw this in. It's not about a lesson. It's just a freebie, brother. It's just a freebie. It just came to me. You know, I have no idea, but I believe in the law of sowing and reaping. Now, we read from scriptures. I've heard preachers say there was 12 baskets full for the 12 disciples. No, I think the young lad took it home personally because he's the one that gave. The Bible says, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. It's Luke 6:38. I believe he went home, knocked on the door with his hands full, and had a story to tell mom and dad. You wouldn't believe that 5 loaves and fishes you gave me this morning. This is what was left over after the Lord blessed it. And the mama said, I thought you was in school. I think I would have excused him for that day. I think I would have excused him. That's a little Douglas theology. But anyway, again, a little thing where God uses the faith of others, a giving of that which they have in their hand for God to use. God used young David with a giant. It wasn't a big miraculous thing, a young shepherd boy. He used a normal thing that he had and used every single day of his life, his sling and a couple stones from the brook. God uses normal people, regular people, to do great things for His glory and His honor. And it's all centered around the same thing that it took for us to come to know Christ, and it is faith. How is our faith after salvation? How is our faith growing in the Lord as we study Scripture and asking the Lord? And sometimes that means stepping out by faith and trusting the Lord. One more thing. I imagine it was very difficult for Peter to step out onto the water when he saw the Lord. But he did. And then when he began to get a little nervous and began to sink, of course the Lord saved him, but he kept his eyes on Christ. Sometimes we have to step out into the deep, the place of the unknown, maybe something we've never done before, because that's our next step of faith in our Christian growth in serving the Lord. We can't just hold back. You know, some of the men and women in my life that had the biggest impact in my life as a young boy, as a teenager, and as a college student, and then later in the military, were just normal people. Normal, everyday people that wanted to be used of the Lord. Brother Larry Craze worked with my dad. I talked to my dad the other day, and as y'all know, he's got the early onset dementia, and he likes to tell me the same story every time I call, and I love to hear it because it gets better every time he tells it, but I just love to hear it. And one of it involves Red Littleton and Larry Craze, two men that my dad worked with at the plant, and then when dad found out that he was getting laid off and standing in line, another place to get his last check, his check was already been cut, his given of his severance pay, he got pulled from line and said, don't collect that check yet. Go back to work. I'll call you later. And it was someone from another shop. And he went back, put his covers on, went to work. Long story short, at the end of the day, they let him know that you have a new job. We're moving you over to the other building. He said, well, why did it take you all day long to call me? I had to interview 30 other people before I could hire you. And now my dad will tell you it all contributes back to faith, to missions, and being involved in his local church. My dad's a quiet man, never taught a class, always was an encourager, always ready to do anything, work on anything he could to help anyone. And then one day when we found out my mom had cancer, and a couple of men that he worked with said, you know, if you need to start it, because the chemotherapy shots, this was back in 75, was quite expensive. The insurance didn't cover the chemo. And a couple of men that he worked with and made friends with, one he went to church with, one he just knew from the job that lived in another community, said, hey, we'll pitch in. We'll work. You know, my son just got a call from a company across town, and they're taking bids for HVAC in these residential apartments. Long story short, my dad got the contract. He went down that week, got his license, got legal, got the contract, and now he needed workers. And these two men volunteered to work. Well, one of them turned out, some years later, to be my high school Sunday school teacher, Brother Larry Craze. Made a big impact on my life. Tremendous. But Brother Larry was quiet, normal guy who just wanted to make a difference in the life of teenage boys. Why teenage boys? I don't know. We weren't always the best, but he was always consistent. He was always there, always had a smile on his face, always ready to serve. He was a normal, we would say, a normal Joe. Dear friends, God uses normal people to do spectacular things. So let's remember, after our faith in Christ, let's allow the Lord to use our faith and service to use us. Sometimes it's stepping out into the deep or the unknown, but that step of faith God will use to bring glory and honor to Him. Let's pray. Lord, we love You, and thank You for Your goodness, Your blessings upon us, the joy of service and the joy of fellowship. Thank You for the gift of salvation, the gift of faith to serve. And Lord, help us all to be willing to know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But also our faith and service is just stepping out and trusting You to be used. Father, help us to have that kind of normal faith that glorifies You. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as always, the Lord loves you. This preacher loves you. If I can be helped you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed, and let's be praying for services this week and, of course, our cantata next week.